Hello, and welcome to the Astrology Witch podcast. I'm your host, Tiana, and today we will be discussing magic and astrology, and by extension, how to use astrology within your magical practice. I feel like I've definitely expressed this in so many words here and there within episodes, but I thought I would create one episode that's pretty concise. That includes a lot of aspects on how you can do this within your magical practice, just to give you a very clean-cut resource that you can go to when you're looking to incorporate the stars and planets into your practice. So this is by request from my patrons on Patreon. They had voted on it. And if you're interested in becoming a patron on my Patreon, I'd love to have you there. I'm on Patreon as the Astrology Witch podcast. So you can just search for that Astrology Witch podcast and I'll come up, and I have all kinds of exclusive content there for you. Even more elaborate than the podcast episodes. You also get early access to ad-free episodes on top of all the other exclusive content and path workings and video content as well. So definitely check that out if you're interested in witchcraft and magic and astrology as a whole, as that's where I focus that content mostly for the most part. And also, if you want to learn more about how to spiritually heal and use astrology as a tool for spiritual growth, then I highly recommend checking out my online program, Embracing the Sacred Soul Blueprint, which I've actually lowered the price for because I had so many people that really wanted to join the program but were not able to due to price. So I've actually sliced my price pretty much almost exactly in half. So it's now a lot more affordable than it's ever been before. If you really have any interest in joining the program, now's the time to do it before the price goes up or changes at all, because it's really at the lowest point it's ever been. And I will link directly to the enrollment link in the description notes for you if you're interested in that. And as always, you can follow me on social media. I'm at AstroWPodcast on Twitter, Astrology Witch Podcast on Instagram, and the Astrology Witch Podcast on Facebook. And we have a Facebook group now called Astrology Witches, where we discuss the monthly transits on a more regular day-to-day basis, and you can discuss and have conversations about how the stars are showing up in your life. Okay, so let's go ahead and get started here. And first, we're going to talk about all the different aspects of astrology that you can use within your magical practice in order to basically use the stars, or your, by extension, your natal chart, if you're doing magic alone or magic for yourself, in order to incorporate astrology into your magical practice. So the main ways that I would recommend people do this are through the moon phases. That's the easiest way. Also through planetary magic or planetary hours and days. There's also planetary plants and crystals, which you can get access to a number of PDFs and like lists of information if you don't know what is what, on my Patreon in really concise way, as well as like breakdowns on magical timing, glamour magic, and like how to use the planets when you do things like money manifestation, glamour magic. There are also things for medical astrology where, you know, you can break down the body parts and like healing yourself through that. I don't have that on my Patreon, but it's out there on the internet and there are many books on it if you're interested in that. But yeah, okay. So let's start with the astrology houses, because I feel that if you have an understanding of basically what these houses rule on a very base level, you can really understand how to use it for yourself in your magical practice. Okay, so I'm going to give you really simple examples here, but hopefully this gives you kind of a kicking off point. If you, let's say, want to use your chart broadly, your natal chart, your birth chart, for your magical practice for yourself, because your chart is very personal, then here is a basic breakdown of how you would do that. So astrology houses, right? We have house one, which is your rising sign, by the way. Just as a disclaimer, I'm using whole sign, tropical zodiac for this explanation. So this is not going to work if you have Placidus, but you can apply it in the same way if you'd like. It gets a bit more muddied and confusing, in my opinion. I think whole sign is a lot easier to understand, but there you go. You do it however you'd like to. So house one, or your rising sign, is the house of self. It is you, it pertains directly to you. Therefore, if you'd like to do something for yourself, a good place to start in a very simple way would be to check what your sign that you have there is, if you have any planets there, but mainly what the planet that rules your rising sign is. So for example, if you're a Sagittarius rising, like me, and you don't have any planets in the first house, then you are ruled by Jupiter. Your chart entirely is going to be ruled by Jupiter. So every house within your natal chart will be ruled by Jupiter. It will have a Jupiter lean, bent to it, whatever you want to call it. Everything will have a kind of like tint. Like if there were windows on your astrology houses in your birth chart, the window tint would be that of the planet Jupiter. And the same goes for any kind of rising sign, right? Like if you're an Aries rising, Mars, Taurus, Venus, if you're Libra rising, also Venus, Gemini or Virgo, it's going to be Mercury, Cancer, the Moon, Leo, the Sun, Scorpio, if you're a traditional rulership, it's Mars, otherwise it's Pluto, Sagittarius, as I said, Jupiter, and then, oh my goodness, Capricorn, Saturn, Aquarius, traditional rulership is Saturn or it's Uranus, and then Pisces finally is either Jupiter or Neptune, depending on whether you go by traditional astrology or more modern rulership. So those were the main planets you need to use when you're talking about things that regard specifically you, especially your body, your appearance, like you specifically, your personality, your characteristics. Second house is the house of possessions, but also income, you know, your job. If you want to do witchcraft or magic working for, you know, to get a specific item or to affect your body, then, you know, you would use the second house, especially if it's regarding to like eating habits. If you want to improve your self-love and self-worth, you would use the second house. If you wanted to improve job prospects and your income and finance situation, you would use the second house. So if you have planets there, then you would look at the planets there. If you don't have planets, you would look at the sign and to see what sign rulership is there. So for example, I just used, you know, if you have Sagittarius, it'd be a Jupiter rulership. So I gave you all the sign rulership. It's really important to understand the quality archetypally, but also traditionally, like what are these planets representative of and what are the signs ruled by them representative of? How do they combine to sort of create a certain type of energy, and you know, using those planets in those areas of life, if that makes sense. So if you have, for example, I have Capricorn in the second house, so if I wanted to get a new job, I would use Saturn. And there are other houses and other, you know, signs within your planetary rulership that could affect that. Like you could use your Venus sign, or if you were experiencing a specific transit, this is a little more advanced than, you know, there are certain transits that are great for finance or jobs or material things. And this is why we're starting very simply, because your natal chart is sort of, I don't want to say it's stagnant, but it is a cycle within your life. Certain houses get activated. We talked about that loosely in annual, when we talked about annual perfections and time lords, time lord techniques and things like that. You know, certain parts of your chart will kind of light up with certain transits. And when, you know, you have certain years. But anyway, if you want to learn more about that, look at the episode about annual perfections and time lord techniques and how to predict your future using astrology. Those are a little bit more advanced methods, but they can definitely help direction your life, although it's less from a magical practice standpoint and more from a what's going on in the sky right now and like how is that affecting your chart. But your natal chart as like a basis framework for magical practice can be really helpful starting at like a baseline simple level. So this is why I say you should start with the houses. So again, we're just going to go through the houses really quickly. But if you don't know the houses in astrology and what they rule, then I really recommend visiting my astrology house series, which I completed last season, and just really understanding and getting to know the house, the houses in your chart and what they pertain to, and like how, you know, what's going on in those charts for you, because, or those houses for you, because it will really light up exactly how those areas of life are affected and how you can come at them. Like, what are issues that natally you have, and like, how can you, you know, kind of come at those issues from a way that helps you rather than hinders you, or like, what are the strengths of those houses and how can you amplify those strengths? Okay, so moving on from the second house, so we have the third house. It's broadly the house of communication, or like the everyday short travel, your community, your neighborhood. And then we have the fourth house of home and family, and also your past, your parents, your roots. Fifth house is the house of pleasure, creativity, children. Sixth house, house of health, routines, work, and like everyday errands and tasks, and also domestic pets. Seventh house is the house of relationships and also contracts and like legal agreements. Eighth house, house of power, sex, transformation, also the occult and witchcraft, and investments and long-term finance. So, you know, things like inherited property would land here, but if like you were trying to buy a house, then it would land in the fourth house because it's not an inherited property, if that makes sense. The ninth house is a house of philosophy and travel. It's a house of worldview and beliefs and religion and education, like higher education, like if you're going to college or you were trying to learn some new topic or something, that would be in the ninth house. In the 10th house, we have the house of career, reputation, status, social standing. It's how we show up in the world and how other people see us. 11th house, house of friendships, wishes, dreams, aspirations. It's also the house of career outcomes, so things like pension, 401k, good times that you can go enjoy with your friends, with your rainy day fund type of thing. Like, what do you do with the money that you get in your career? Oh, well, you go out with friends and have a good time, or you come up with ways to improve society through humanitarian projects, which are also landing in the 11th house. 12th house is the house of subconscious. It's our mental health, our dreams, like our literal dreams, that we, you know, have dreams in every night when we go to sleep, not our like hypothetical dreams of life or whatever, or goals or whatever. And also everything that we repress. So it's really like a house of mental health, you know, repressed desires, fears, things like that. And that is a basic breakdown of all the houses. So you can imagine, like, if you wanted to do a spell for love and relationships, or a magical working for bringing in a relationship, or bringing in, I don't know, more sex into your life or something, then those are two different houses, right? Like, the house of pleasure is the fifth house. And that's like the house of lust and romance, but new lust and romance, or like sex life or casual sex. Whereas the house of relationships is the seventh house. So depending on what you're actually looking for, that's the house that you would look at. And you would see what sign is there, if there's just a sign, and what planet rules that sign. And if there's more than that going on, if there's multiple planets there, then, you know, you kind of want to see what's happening there and how you can use those planets to your benefit. And there's also something that I think people can sometimes forget, which is the zodiac sign axes of the signs. And there's this kind of lever action happening between two signs that we don't really consider. So things like the opposite signs, right? Aries and Libra, they're this sort of like opposite, equal opposite energy. You know, Aries is ruled by Mars, Libra is ruled by Venus. And Aries is all about asserting oneself, and Libra is all about pleasing others, you know? So it's like this, ourself and everybody else. And that's the energy of these two polarities of these two signs. And when you're doing a magical working, some of these polarities can be really beneficial to incorporate into a magical working. Taurus and Scorpio. Taurus is ruled by Venus, Scorpio is ruled by Mars traditionally, or Pluto in the modern rulership. And they're really about, you know, my personal value and the value and bonds I share with others. You know, my deep personal investment in this material world and my deep personal investment in the spiritual world. Gemini and Sagittarius. Gemini is known as like the lower mind, not to say that it's any less value, but like the lower mind philosophically of being like everyday interactions, everyday chit chat, connecting with people for fun. And then Sagittarius being the higher mind is really about our philosophy, our worldview, things like religious beliefs, spiritual beliefs, morals. They're just different thought patterns. They're not necessarily better or worse, just a different mode. So you can see how these things kind of play off of each other. Cancer and Capricorn. Cancer is all about, what is my inherited roots from my family and my ancestral line, and being protected and keeping myself safe. Capricorn is going out into the world and making your mark and, fulfilling those obligations that you have in order to take care of the family sometimes, but also in order to, you know, get personal success and achievement. Leo and Aquarius. Leo is all about me shining for who I am as an individual, whereas Aquarius is, you know, what do I do that's the best for humanity as a whole and the world, to make the world a better place? Virgo and Pisces. Virgo is all about, you know, helping other people and, you know, organizing the chaos in a really practical way that's helpful and that is solving a lot of problems in a very detail-oriented way, whereas Pisces is about leaning into the spiritual and, you know, having faith in this grander plan and, you know, being creative and imaginative and optimistic in the future without really being practical or detail-oriented about what, you know, what's to come in a really, like, not in a concrete way. So if we think about the planets, just expanding on this a little bit, the sun, it's really about the self, the ego. In our chart, as I said in a previous episode about what the sun or your star sign means in your chart, it's about our drive, our vitality, and by extension, you know, our approach. That those things give us an approach to our goals in this life, whether those goals are material or spiritual. The moon is our emotions, our instincts, and our mother, whereas the sun can often represent the father. Mercury, communication, information, thought processes, perspective, our perception, how we can, you know, absorb information and filter it and perceive the world. Venus is love, relationships, art, finance, and pleasure. Mars, sex, action, passion, and assertiveness. And Jupiter is luck, growth, and expansion. It's also like, you know, one of the great benefics like Venus. It's just kind of brings good feelings, good times, whereas Venus is just makes, you know, good memories or pleasure from the things we really enjoy that we seek out. Jupiter is like good feelings from that greater growth and understanding from newness and even like spiritual enlightenment to a certain extent. Saturn is lesson structure. Can sometimes represent the father as well in a chart. And, you know, it's when the tension of difficulties forces us to grow. Then we have the modern planets as well. Neptune, illusion, dreams, imagination, romance to a lesser extent. Uranus, rebellion, autonomy, chaos, also quick change, that unpredictability. Pluto is power, death, transformation, and a deep investigation. And if you really want to expand your understanding of the planets, then it's great to look into the mythology of these planets from a pagan standpoint, because looking into the Greek and Roman interpretation of these planets will really give you an idea of kind of how we interpret them in astrology, how we use them and their archetypal energy within astrology and, you know, by extension within our magical practice to enact change. So if you want a better understanding of the planets, I've tried my best to include them in all of the planetary episodes I did in season one, all about the planets, but also in the houses as well, because each house is, you know, natively ruled by a planet. And to just give a better understanding of like, what is that archetypal meaning, so that when you go to do magical workings or you go to use certain planets within your practice, you can kind of understand what is the purpose of this planet. Like, what are they really serving within my natal chart or within a transit? And then okay, so if we're talking really simply about using astrology in our magical workings, then working with the moon phases is the easiest way to do that. It might seem intimidating at first, but it's actually really intuitive if you think about it. It's not super difficult. If you can get a moon phase app, they have free ones, but I would say the paid ones are probably a little bit better. They'll tell you exactly by degree what phase the moon is in, and by percentage, like how full or not full it is, whether it's waxing or waning. And it really is great for manifestation and banishing work. So it's a great way to supercharge your workings if you're just not that familiar with the planets yet, or if the idea of working with planets is really intimidating and stressful and just overwhelms you. So the easiest guideline for working with the phases of the moon is that new moons are great for new things, you know, love and romance spells, new projects, goal setting, health, job manifestation, just any kind of new beginning that you're trying to usher in or bless or bring growth to. The waxing moon, which is a moon that's growing, getting bigger, you know, from the moment it's a new moon until it's full, that in-between phase is a waxing moon. You know, it's a great time for doing any kind of ritual or spell that involves those new beginnings that you want to increase. You know, if you're doing a money spell, you want to increase the money, doing it once on the new moon and then continuing through to the full moon, you know, at certain periods or intervals is a great idea, you know, especially if you're doing it on the day of Venus, which by the way is Friday. And if you can do it on the hour of Venus, which will be different on any given day, and there are fixed planetary hours, and you can do like exact planetary hours if you want to calculate those, or there's probably calculators online as well. Okay, the full moon, it's the one phase of the moon that pretty much you can do whatever you want. You know, it's like really auspicious timing. So you can do goal manifestation, anything regarding passion or love or romance, healing, power, knowledge, protection, divination, strength, money, dreams, legal luck. And you could even do a banishing, although like I personally don't find it that auspicious of a time to do banishing rituals. I use the waning or dark moon to do those things, but you know, to each their own. It's totally up to you. I know tons of people that don't even bother following that. They'll just do everything on a full moon. So completely up to you. Okay, the waning moon is anytime after the full moon, because it's just going to get smaller from that point. It's a great time to do banishing, releasing, or removing obstacles, you know, spells and rituals to get rid of unwanted influence, binding magic, removing harm. If you need to exercise your home, removing obstacles, letting go of unwanted things like illness, a bad relationship, crappy friendships, bad habits, crappy mindset, anything like that. Waning moon is a time of decrease. Waxing moon is a time of increase. The dark moon is when the moon is just not visible in the sky. There's like a little bit right before the next lunar cycle when you experience a dark moon. And again, great for banishing spells, awesome for divination, meditation work, releasing the old, preparing for the new, and removing unwanted energy again, such as illness, addiction, negativity. And it's also a great time to deal with, you know, if you feel like there are psychic attackers or unwanted psychic energies about that you're trying to deal with, it's a great way to neutralize them, as the dark of the moon or the shadow side of the moon is seen as a time when like others can't really see you as clearly, you know, it's not illuminated, so you can sort of work in the darkness. Also justice work, like social justice work, is great, and shadow work, of course, like very stereotypically for the dark moon. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about how to combine planetary energies now. I know this is a lot of information I'm throwing at you, but given that it was requested, I'm trying my best to just jam a bunch of information in here, and hopefully you guys get something from it. I know it's a lot of information, so take notes as you need. And also just keep in mind that the more you listen to this information, the more you hear it, the more it will make sense to you. And the more hopefully you can implement it into your practice or into your life in some way that hopefully really helps you. That's the goal here. Okay. So combining planetary energies, this is why understanding the planetary energies on their own is so important, because when we think about what they are on their own, we can start to understand what they might be when they are combined with one another. You know, combining planetary energies, especially when there's a transit involved, but when there isn't one, you can use the planetary energy as well. So just keep that in mind. Okay, so Saturn and Mars, great for structures and boundaries. I use Saturn and Mars when I am warding my home, and I found it to be really, really useful. It's great for keeping things out that you don't want to come in, for keeping your home safe and protected. If you're somebody who wards, Saturn and Mars energy is great. Venus and Mars for sex appeal. I mean, very obviously, Venus is love, you know. Mars is, you know, assertiveness and passion and sexual desire. Saturn and Mercury, discipline and focus. You know, you want to get shit done, you want to like focus and really study for that test. Saturn and Mercury have your back. Jupiter and Venus, love and money. Honestly, they're the great benefics in the sky. And, you know, we have transits, especially with Jupiter for the next year or so, in Taurus, which is ruled by Venus sign. So it's just like the perfect time for manifestation of money and love. Especially if there is some kind of Venus transit involved that hits your chart or that's really favorable. Jupiter and Venus, like love and money rituals or spells, awesome. Mercury and Venus to develop creative skills, or, you know, something to do with the arts or our creativity. Mercury and Venus. Mercury, Venus, and Jupiter for charisma, or like being very publicly charismatic and likable. Jupiter and Mercury for communication. Neptune and the moon for divination. Sun and Venus for like shining for your artistic talents. Jupiter, the Sun, and Venus for luck. Those are just a couple of combinations that you could employ that I have found personally to be really helpful. And again, if you want more specific examples of magical workings, check my Patreon, because I give very specific examples, and even down to like spells and ritual PDFs that you could just download and try for yourself. Okay, now we're going to talk about fixed planetary days. I'm not going to give you fixed planetary hours, but they're on my Patreon if you want them. Fixed planetary days. Sunday is the day of the sun. It's great for sun workings. You know, good fortune, courage, shining in yourself. Monday is the day of the moon. Emotional work, healing, spirituality. Tuesday, Mars. It's great for, you know, starting something new, getting shit done, being assertive, being more independent. Wednesday, the day of Mercury. It's great for learning new things, anything that has to do with communication, anything with technology, anything like that. Or travel. Thursday is travel. Thursday is Jupiter's day. And it's a really lucky day for travel, blessings, optimism, good fortune, and growth and abundance. It's like hella manifestation. Friday, Venus. It's great for love, beauty, and finance. If you want to get a raise, do a style makeover, self-care, Friday. Saturday is the day of Saturn, and it's a great day for, you know, reinforcing structures, breaking structures down, making new rules, getting rid of rules, responsibility, you know, running errands, commitment, obligations, and the government. That is basics of fixed planetary days. Again, if you want more details on fixed planetary hours, then definitely check out my Patreon. Okay, so quick breakdown of retrogrades. People are always scared of retrogrades for some reason, and usually it's Mercury retrograde because that's the one everyone freaks out about for whatever reason. I don't really understand it. You know, retrogrades are something that happen annually. Mercury retrograde happens, planetary retrogrades happen, but they're meant to be a little, you know, moment in time where we can reflect on something or revise things that we've already been working on. Planets don't really move backwards. They just sort of sit there for a minute and they look like they're not moving, but of course they are. So that energy can feel like it's stagnant for a minute or like things are moving really slow. So quick breakdown on Saturn retrograde. It's, you know, revisiting matters of limitations, rules, career, structure, government. You know, you can see how a retrograde will help you revise and work on those things if you want to do a magical working for them. Neptune retrograde, revisiting matters of imagination, creativity, dreams. Uranus retrograde, revisiting matters of humanity, the world, being innovative and progressive, and quick change, being chaotic, I don't know, bringing changes to humanity. Pluto retrograde, revising or revisiting matters of mysteries, you know, digging into the earth for the riches that you find underneath when you do those deep investigative work, spirituality, transformation, the cycles of death and rebirth. Venus retrograde, revisiting matters of relationships, sexuality, beauty, finance. Mars retrograde, revisiting matters of aggression, anger, war, asserting ourselves, taking action, taking the lead, sexuality. Mercury, everybody's favorite, revisiting matters of communication, contracts, daily routines, and work life and health routines, and also like habits. But mostly we're obsessed with the communication aspect of that for some reason in contracts, but there's a lot more to it. And, you know, ways that you could take advantage during a retrograde obviously pertain to those things. And finally, Jupiter retrograde, you know, revisiting matters of growth, luck, risk, adventure, happiness, like where we might be overdoing it because Jupiter tends to go overboard, you know, in a good way, but like sometimes we need to pull back a little bit. Okay. So that's a quick breakdown. If you want more details, again, you can check my Patreon. Okay. How to use planetary returns. So planetary returns are when a planet returns to the point that it was at in your birth chart. This is very personal, but it's great for you guys to know how to use planetary returns within your birth chart because, man, they're really useful. I really recommend it. So the most common planetary return that you will be most familiar with is your solar return, which is your birthday. You know, why do we blow the candles out on our birthday? It's a great day for magical fulfillment, wish fulfillment. Our ascendant return, which I think is highly underrated, is the season of your rising sign. You could go by degree, which you could probably figure out with an online calculator. If you wanted to, if you knew the degree of your rising sign or your ascendant sign. Lunar return, you know, when your moon sign is back in your natal sign. Saturn return, oof, hits every 27 to 30 years. and usually, you know, shakes shit up for you and makes things maybe more difficult, so you can learn those lessons and you know, grow a bit, as Saturn will be wont to do. Venus return, it usually happens like 1 to 3 times a year, and it'll hit your natal position then, and that can be great for revisiting, you know, love, relationship, finance, creativity. Mars return, when Mars hits your natal position every 2 years, usually it's about taking initiative, you know, starting something new, moving towards your goals, making change. Can be fitness or sex magic stuff that you could do. Jupiter return every 12 years. And, you know, you're visiting or revisiting those Jupiter qualities of your natal chart. So again, this is going to be like specific to whatever sign rules your planet there. So whatever sign rules Jupiter or Mars or Venus or Saturn, etc. Mercury return, usually every 88 days. Lunar nodes, when the nodes hit your natal position every 18 to 19 years, this is all about soul growth and healing and fulfilling your personal destiny, if you believe in such a thing. I did a free workshop on that, and if you're curious, check the enroll in my program link, and you can get access to that free workshop as well. And also, how to use eclipses in magical working. I'm not a huge fan of doing this, but you know, if you want to. Solar eclipses destine new beginnings and opportunities. They usually herald in a lot of really good new things, new beginnings. And you know, lunar eclipses are typically faded endings, breakdowns, and breakthroughs. And I don't recommend doing magic during those times, but if you want access to those things, then for every lunation, meaning every like new moon, full moon of the month, on Patreon, I share like what I would recommend if I was going to do those things. So yeah, that's a quick breakdown. Again, you can also incorporate things like planetary plants. Certain plants are ruled by certain planets. Planetary crystals. Certain crystals will be corresponding to certain planets. And you can incorporate those within your magical working to infuse that planet's energy into the working. You can, again, time your magical practice with magical timing, with the fixed planetary days and the fixed planetary hours, or specific planetary hour, because you can calculate that online as well. And again, I have PDFs on my Patreon for this if you want like a handheld, you know, step-by-step, I'll give you that. Like, you literally can time some of this to just amp up that energy that you're looking for into your magical practice. So if that is something that you're looking for, that's a couple of ways that you can do it. Obviously, there's so much more to this. This is like a really basic breakdown, separating all of these elements. There are certain transits that are better than others for certain things. And if you're curious on how to do magic with certain transits, let me know, and I will try to do a future episode on what transits are the best to use for certain magical workings. So let me know if you're curious about that. Shoot me an email at theastrologywitch89@gmail.com, or you can hit me up in direct message on Facebook or Instagram. I'm at Astrology Witch Podcast on Instagram, The Astrology Witch Podcast on Facebook. You can also find me on the Astrology Witches Facebook group or on Twitter at AstroWPodcast. So I hope you have enjoyed this episode. Hopefully this gave you a lot to think about. I know it's a lot of information I've just thrown at you. And if you are curious to gain more spiritual growth and healing using astrology, then my online program is a great place to start. You can book a call with me at the link below, or you can enroll directly and get started today. Again, I said I slashed the price in half, basically. So for those of you that were completely like priced out, hopefully this makes it a lot more affordable for you as well to sign up and gain access to, honestly, a huge passion project of mine. And there's so much really valuable information in the program and practical things that you can do in there that will, you know, you could do throughout the entire year and gain so much from, not just spiritual growth and healing in your life that will pertain to your birth chart specifically, but also learn so much about astrology and magic and ritual and personal practice. So I hope you'll give that a check, a look below. Again, you can gain access to the free workshop that I did on discovering your spiritual purpose if you're curious about the lunar nodes. And yeah, thank you so much for listening. I hope that you found this helpful. I know this is the last podcast episode of the year, so I hope that you guys have had a great 2023. And I'm really excited to get started with new episodes in the next year. And I will see you in the next one.